Gary, God bless you. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin our reading in verse number 14. Matthew chapter 25. Just read one verse this morning. Dive right into it. If you're keeping notes, I'm preaching on Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 down to verse number 30. This is our New Testament book that we're studying together. We've come to this portion of Scripture. I do encourage you to go back and get all the other messages. If you want to do that, they should be on the internet there. I encourage you to do that. A blessing about the internet is that you do not have to watch me unless you do that by choice. You can click the... Now be careful, your personal support is on the line here. Anyway, you can click on the microphone and just hear my beautiful voice. You know what I mean? Or you can click on it and watch me in life size there, whatever the case may be. That'd be good. Some of you catch that by freight sometime tomorrow. Yes, it's life size. I understand. I know what you're saying. Yes, my beautiful wife's at home today. Pray for her. Her back is killing her. And she told me she feels like she's had surgery, which she's not had surgery. And so I told her, I said, you stay in today. All of this, we're trying to take care of her. She's probably watching now, but I'm going to go ahead and say this, just in case she is watching. She's a precious lady. She really is. But she has some of you all fooled. The last time she watched live at home, she said, you know, I could see you when you stepped out to the side of the pulpit, she said. All of this, yes. But honey, I love you with all of my heart, all of these kind of things. Pray for her. She's miserable right now. Not for being married to me, friends, just because she's expecting our third child, and she is really going through it right now. You keep your thoughts to yourself, okay? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. The Lord is dealing with the Olivet Discourse, and He says these words, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." I want to preach this morning on those three words, His own servants. His own servants. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought. Father, we love You and thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. I pray, our Father, that You help us as we open the Word of God. Help our hearts to be stilled. Help our minds and hearts to be ready to receive what You speak to us about. And I want to confess what Brother Gary's just sung, I need You. And I pray that You help me today to do everything that pleases You. May I not say one word, not one, that displeases You. May every word that's said be pleasing in Your sight. May You be honored in this service and deal with us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these verses before us this morning, let us remember how the Lord is in progress of giving what has been called the Olivet Discourse. We get this name because He's sitting on the Mount of Olives as he's speaking these words. And throughout this Olivet Discourse, He is answering the disciples' threefold question, where they ask Him concerning the destruction of the temple, the sign of His coming, and the sign of the end of the world. And chapter 24 ended with the Lord strongly emphasizing how He is coming back to this earth again. He continued with this same theme that He's coming back again in the opening 13 verses of chapter 25. That's the last message we preached in this series, in which He shared a parable concerning 10 virgins and how He was coming again, whether people were ready or whether they were not. Now today we come to the next section of our study through the book of Matthew, and we come to chapter number 25, verse 14, down to verse number 30. And as we look at these things here, in these verses, we see the Lord is giving another parable concerning a man, no doubt the man pictures him, traveling to a far country. And the interesting thing about this man is that he has his own servants, and with his own servants, he gave them his goods to look after while he was gone. Now, as we study this parable together, we're going to notice some truths that come out for our admonition. And before I get to the outline, let us consider some introductory thoughts about this passage. Now, we know that the man traveling into a far country in context, there's no doubt that the man traveling into a far country giving his goods to his servants is the Lord Himself. There's no doubt about that. And we know that a servant, if you look that word up, it means a bond slave.
We know that a servant, a bond slave, is one that does not belong to himself. Therefore, now get this, friends. This is so important that you get this. We know that by right of creation, let me repeat it. By right of creation, every human being is a servant of Almighty God. We belong to God because He created us. Along with this, we see that every child of God is a true servant. So important that you get what I'm saying here. Every child of God is a true servant of His, not only by creation, but by redemption. Now, what I'm trying to say is everybody in this auditorium and everybody in the world is in this parable. You are one of these servants, whether you are saved or whether you are not. Now, that being the case, I want to give you three things this morning as we look at His own servants. We are God's, whether you realize it or not, friends. He created you, you belong to Him. If He saved you, you are doubly His. He created you and He redeemed you. He owned you twice. The fact of the matter is, nobody is their own. God made us. If you're saved, God saved us. He's a great God. Let me give you three things about this text. His own servants, number one. Let's notice, first of all, His own servants receiving their master's goods. Receiving their master's goods. Look at verse 14 and following. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now the first thing we see in this passage concerning these servants is how the master gave unto all of them according to the ability that they had. Now the emphasis here is how every one of God's servants, now get this, every one of His servants were given the opportunity to serve their master while he was gone away. Now even though all did not have the same amount of talents, they all got what they could handle. Now get this. Failure could only come from laziness or could only come from hatred for the master. See, it's important also to see how these goods that they had to manage, now get this, the opportunity they had, the ability they had, was not their own. They were the master's. The Bible says that He gave His own servants His goods. Here's something to understand. I'm talking specifically to children of God today, right here under this point. This is so important for us all to see here. These servants were not owners. They were caretakers. While the master was gone, now get this. While the master was gone, he wanted his business to carry on just as normal. So he gave them all an opportunity to get involved in it. He gave them all the ability to do the right thing. And it's important that we see this. It is time we all understand that every good thing we have comes from God. He is the master of the property. We don't own it. We own nothing. It all belongs to Him. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. John 3:27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Friends, I own nothing. I'm just taking care of it. It all belongs to Him. And by the way, that not only includes your money, that includes your time, that includes your family, that includes this church, that includes your Sunday school class, that includes your bus route, that includes your job. None of it belongs to me. None of it belongs to you. God has given us great opportunity to serve Him with things that come from His own hands. I am not to act like it belongs to me. I am to take care of it because it belongs to Him. Number one, we notice these servants, his own servants, receiving their master's goods. Number two, let's notice his own servants responding to their master's goods. How did they respond to the opportunity that God gave them? Look at verse number 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now the second thing we see in this passage is how these servants, all of them, received opportunity to do the right thing. And all of them responded to the opportunity and the responsibility that they were given by their master. The Bible says the one who received the 5 talents doubled his. The servant who received the 2 talents doubled his. But the servant who received 1 did nothing with his opportunity, but rather went and buried it. I call it buried treasure. That's what I call it. The first 2, get this, did what they could with what they had, while the last one neglected what God gave him and made no use of it at all. Now, I'm plowing towards the third point, but stay here with me. We all need to see what a privilege it is to have what belongs to God delivered to us. What an opportunity. What a privilege. What a responsibility. We should strive to do all we can with what we have in order to give Him what He desires and deserves when He comes. We don't need to be looking at what others do and get discouraged. We don't need to be looking at what others do and get proud. Because see, if you look at what everybody else is doing and somebody's doing more than you are because maybe God has gifted them a little bit more or something like that, you can get discouraged. I'm doing nothing for God. However, if you look at somebody and they're not doing as much as you are because they don't have as many talents as you have, you can become proud because you think you're better than them. Get your eyes off of other people and put your eyes completely upon the opportunity that He's given you, the responsibility that He's given you. And I'm telling you, let us determine just to be a faithful servant of God. I mean, just serve Him faithfully till He calls you home. We just had Dr. Tom Farrell here. You know, I have a bad memory. I really do. But there are some things I can remember. And one thing that I can remember is, I believe it was the last time he was here. Not recently, but the last time when Preacher Lashley was still pastoring here. I've told this story before, but this illustrates the truth right here. The fact of the matter is this. On Friday night, the service was over, and I was walking up the hallway there, and Preacher and Dr. Tom Farrell were sitting in the secretary's office with that big glass right there, and I walked by and saw him sitting there, so I just kind of made myself available. I was envious. I wanted to get in that meeting. Preacher invited me in, or somebody did. See, I have a bad memory. I don't know which one of them did, but one of them invited me in. And they prayed, and I was praying with them. Dr. Tom Farrell got up and he was walking through Preacher's office getting ready to go outside, and he stopped and he turned around and like he can do, he stuck his finger right in my face and said, "Jody, just be faithful." I've never forgotten that. You know, I may not can be much, but I can be faithful. You may not can be much, but you can be faithful. You know what the devil's a master at? Getting your eyes on other people. I can't do what he does. I can't do what she does. I can't sing like that. I can't teach like that. I can't preach like that. I can't do that. Who cares what you can't do, friends? Maybe you can't for a reason. God never made you to be like somebody else. God, get this, his own servants have what they have from the hand of God. He has given you what you are responsible for and nothing else. Nothing else. And that being the case, we see how they responded to it. Two of them were faithful. One of them said no to the opportunity. I'm reminded of the story here. I'm reading this, but an old sea captain lay on his deathbed. An old friend came to see him and said, "Tell me what changed your life." He said, "You used to be wild and reckless. What happened to you?" The old sea captain said, "It happened when a ship that I commanded was called upon to get the passengers off of another ship before it broke into two. We had a hard time, and several times I thought my own ship would go down, but finally we rescued all the passengers. And the last one off the other ship that was getting ready to sink was the captain of that ship. His wife had already been rescued, and he said, I was holding his 4-year-old girl that had been taken off the ship before her daddy got off the ship." See, her daddy was the other captain. "When he came over the rail, he was the last one, and he said, I was holding his little girl in my arms. His wife ran to him, threw her arms around him, and said, I just knew that God was going to save us. She turned to me and said, now, Captain, just keep on holding my little girl while I get on my knees and thank God. She got down on her knees and prayed. Then the little girl that he was holding snuggled up close to him and said to her mother, said, Mother, is this God? She said, no, honey. Why do you think he's God? Well, you kept saying that God would save us, and this man saved us. The mother smiled and said, no, he's not God. He's just one of God's men that God used today. Then the old captain turned to his friend and said, that day I decided to be one of God's men always, and that he could use me always. Friends, listen to me. Don't worry if you have 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent. You just be faithful to what God's given you. You be faithful to what God has made you to be. Number one, we see his own servants receiving their master's goods. God gave them his opportunity. He gave them what belonged to him. He gave it to their hands. We see them, number two, responding to their master's goods. Two of them responded right. One of them said, no, I don't want anything to do with it. Then number three, let me show you his own servants reckoning with their master. Reckoning with their master. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth, there's the word, reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, went and hid thy treasure in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You may look at that and say, good night, what in the world? We've come to the main thrust of this parable. Yes, we see them receiving their master's goods. Yes, we see them responding to their master's goods. But now, here's the message, really. We see the reckoning with the master himself. We come to the main thrust. The Bible says that once the master gave his servants his goods, he said it was a long time before he came back. We're living in that long time, friends. But it says, there came the day when he did come back. And it says that he reckoned with them. You know what that word reckon means? It means to compute or give an account. That's what it means. In other words, even though it was a long time, the time did come when their master came. And he took an account of what every one of them did with the opportunity he gave them. And I want to look at both sets of these servants. First of all, under this, I want to look at those who used their master's talents. In verses 20 to 23, we see the servant given five talents came, and he began to give an account of how he had taken the master's five talents and he had gotten five more. To this the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. This servant was rewarded with the commending words of his master. And he was allowed to enter into the joy of the Lord. But notice the second servant came and he had two talents. He began to give an account, and here's what he said. I have taken your two talents, and I've gained two more. Now, the five gained five, but the two gained two. In our terminology, the two didn't do as much as five, but don't you thank God? I thank God he doesn't think like we think. And we see that when this man said, I have taken two talents and made other two, we see that the Lord said the same thing to him that he did to the one who gained five. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. You know, Warren Wiersbe put it this way. These servants, they had worked and toiled, and now they entered into joy. Friends, listen to me. I know sometimes this life seems hard. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know living the Christian life is not easy. If it was, everybody would be doing it. It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. But I promise you, if you're faithful to the opportunity God has given you, when you come to the great accounting day, and if you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, I don't know what all that joy of the Lord means, but it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? We see here, friends, listen. In this first section, we see that the Lord's reward was based on faithfulness, not results. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, the Lord is not going to ask us how much we've done for Him, but how faithful we've been to that which He wanted us to do. Let me say that again. The Lord's not going to ask us, how much did you do for me? He's only going to ask us, how faithful have you been to those things I wanted you to do for me? It's not how much you do, but what you do with what you have. God rewards faithfulness. Not success, not greatness. See, some people have the mistaken idea that if they don't have the largest church in America, God's not blessing them. That's not true, friends. Some people have the mistaken idea that if they don't have the biggest bus route or the biggest Sunday school class, at least we ought to do everything we can to reach as many people as possible. But friends, listen to me. God did not make everybody the same. He has given some five, some two, some one, some three, some ten, but everybody has at least one opportunity to do the right thing. And whatever it is, that's what you're going to stand judgment for. If you are a five-talent Christian, you will stand judgment for your five talents. Not six, not seven, not three, not four, five. If you're a two-talent Christian, he's not going to judge you for four talents or three talents or 10 talents. It'll be two. He's faithful, friends. He's just, and he's not going to judge you on something he did not make possible for you to do. If you're truly a child of God, we need to be reminded that we have a reckoning day approaching. The great reckoning day with God for Christians is called the judgment seat of Christ. In that judgment, the judgment seat of Christ for Christians, all believers, we will be judged not for our sins, because our sins were judged on Calvary. God judged our sin when he judged his son on the cross of Calvary. We will not stand judgment for our sin. Glory to God for that. But we will stand judgment for our works. Our works will be tried as by fire. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, talking to Christians, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Talking about the judgment seat in context. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Friends, when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to be saved as by fire. Thank God I'm saved, but I want to have some rewards. I want to have something to place at his feet. I want to have, listen, I don't want the rewards to keep for myself. I want the rewards so I can give them back to him. You know how I get them? Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Could you imagine what would happen within this church? Let's take the area of soul winning. If every person in this church said, I'm going to be faithful sharing my faith with people. I'm going to be faithful reading the Bible. I'm going to be faithful obeying the Bible. I'm going to be faithful praying. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. But then the Lord ends this parable with a major emphasis, and that is not only those who were faithful to it, but number two under this, this is all under the reckoning day. We see the one who buried his master's talent. We see this in verses 24 to 30. Now much of this story is devoted to this one who had equal opportunity to live for the master, but rather he neglected what he was given, and thereby he suffered great loss. Now we see this one, when the Lord came back in verse number 24, notice his language there. He begins to criticize the Lord. He begins to belittle the Lord here, if you will. He says, he says, I know thee that you're a hard man. You reap where you've not sown. You gather where you've not strawed. Let me say something, that's not true. Now the Lord, the servant, went on to say, hey, if you thought that's how I was, why didn't you act like it? But we see here that this servant is falsely accusing his master. He's speaking hard to him. He tried, get this. Here's what this one with this one talent did. He tried to make excuses. He said, the reason I didn't do it is because of you. You. You're the reason I didn't do anything with it. In other words, I don't trust you. That's what he's saying, friends. His Lord answered him by saying, you know what you are? You're a wicked servant. You're a slothful servant. He told him how he should have given what he had at least to the exchanges so he could have some interest earned on it. Now again, friends, you got to be careful here applying types, because he's talking about, this is an illustration here. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, there are no excuses. Even if what you said is true, the very least you could have done is put it in the bank so it could get some interest. You didn't have to go bury it like you did. There's no excuses for you. This wicked servant had his talent stripped from him and given to the one who had 10. Let me say this. This one servant right here is where the disagreement comes in among God's people. Some people try to say that all of these are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'm not going to fight you if that's what you believe, okay? I'm not going to do that, because there are some legitimate cases for that, because all servants and all this. Well, let me just say this to you. I'm going to apply this man to a lost person. Let me tell you how I'm going to do that. This man was not condemned for doing wrong. He was condemned for not doing right. He was getting, now get this. This man was given the opportunity to do the right thing. He really was. But he did not acknowledge his master as being just, nor did he acknowledge his own duty to give his one life to fulfill his master's wishes. Get this. When the master came back, there was no fruit. There was no fruit. His fruitlessness was unmasked, and he was destroyed. The door of opportunity had come and gone, and he was cast, the Bible says, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One person put it this way, those who despise the riches of God's goodness. Hey, would you agree with me that God has even been good to lost people? Yes or no? Has God given them anything? Yes or no? Yes. What's He given them? Opportunity. He's given them an open door. Whose door is it? It's His. It's His open door. It's His opportunity. And He's given it to them. But some of them falsely accuse Him. Some of them make excuses and try to say, Him. I don't want anything to do with Him. And they bury the opportunity that God has given them. And somebody said, those who despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, burying them in the ground and clinging instead to the paltry and transient goods of this world, will ultimately lose everything they have. One other person said it this way, we're not told that the unprofitable servant was a murderer or a thief or even a waster of his Lord's money, but he did nothing. And that was his ruin. Let us beware, get this, of a do-nothing Christianity. Survey your own life. Is there some kind of fruit showing evidence of spiritual life? Have you taken your God-given opportunity, and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, there may be some excuses in the great reckoning day, at least people trying to make excuses, but He'll strip you of every one of your excuses. And He will cast those into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Spurgeon put it this way, he who paints the miseries of hell as though they were but trifling is seeking to murder men's souls under the pretense of friendship. It is going to be awful in the regions of the damned. Do not wait until the Lord comes back and pulls the mask off of your unfruitfulness. The fact of the matter is, and I brought this out earlier in this book study, is how the Lord, when He's dealing with those who have opportunity, they can do the right thing, but they say no. They start falsely accusing Him. The Bible says He's going to send them to outer darkness. That means as far away as you can possibly be from God. 2 Peter 2:17, The Bible talks about lost people saying, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The Bible says in Jude verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Hey, you're going to one of two places. You're either going to everlasting life, where the light of the world is going to be living there for all eternity, or you're going to everlasting darkness that's called the mist of darkness, the blackness of darkness for all eternity. Friends, His own servants, everybody belongs to Him by creation, and some of us belong to Him also by redemption. The Lord Jesus is coming back again. This is the emphasis through the Olivet Discourse. He's saying, listen, friends, I'm coming again. It may be a long time, but I'll be back, just like I said. In the parable of the 10 virgins, ready or not, here He comes. In this parable, if you've neglected the opportunity He's given you to do the right thing, and you've never trusted Christ and done the right thing by receiving Him, you'll be cast into outer darkness. But if you are a faithful servant, whether you have two talents or five talents or 10 talents or 3 talents or 7 talents, take what God has given you and you be faithful as you can be to every talent He's given you. Because the fact is, there is coming a reckoning day. It could be today. If it is, are you ready? Don't be a child of God who suffers loss at the judgment seat and is saved, but yet so as by fire. And if you're an unbeliever, I'm pleading with you. Trust Christ before it's eternally too late. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says this, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let me read it again. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. As they begin to play through softly, if your account is next, if your reckoning day is next, have you taken what God has given you and used it for His honor? Have you taken what God has given you and used it for His glory? Question one, are you a child of God? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Question two, if you're saved and know it, are you faithful with the gifts and talents that God has given you? Don't die with potential, friends. Give God everything He's given you. Do everything He's called you to do. Be everything He's called you to be. If it's 2 talents, 3 talents, or 30, makes no difference. All the talent comes from Him anyway. And He's entrusted all of us with some kind of talents. Let us strive to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. How many today say, Jody, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I know one thing. I don't want to be cast into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Let me ask you this. Some of you say, Jody, if my reckoning day was today, I know I'm saved. I know I am. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air? You know you are. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Have you Christians say, Jody, if the Lord called my name today and I stood at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to admit that. But I believe that I would hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you know your heart, you're not trying to play games or lie about it, but if you know your heart, you say, I believe, if If I know my heart, I believe I would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you believe you'd hear that, if you believe you're using all the talents that God has given you, and that you're not perfect, but you're trying to be faithful, and you say, "Jody, I believe I'd hear those words. I really believe I would." Would you be honest with God watching you? Would you raise your hand in the air with me? So I believe I'd hear those words. God bless you. Thank you. Please don't let that change. Is there some here say, "Jody, I'm saved, I'm ready to go, but I'm not sure I would hear those words if my reckoning day was today. But I do have a desire to hear those words. I'm not sure if I'd hear them now, but I have a desire to hear them. I really do." Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand in the air with me, please? God bless you. God bless you. In just a moment, when Brother Gary sings, why don't you come talk to God about it? Would you do it? Father, we love you. Bless now, I pray. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. If you're being baptized today, now's your time to go make your way. Get prepared for that. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place as he sings now? Would you
have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Spoken to your heart and is urging you to come and surrender and say, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You come on while the ladies play." All right, thank you. You may be seated. Let me give you a couple of quick announcements and we'll have the offering and the baptismal service will be done. Number one, I'll try to take these in chronological order. We do have a newcomers fellowship. If you are a new member of our church or visiting our church, we would love to spend some time fellowshipping with you tonight. And I know there are several folks I do not know. We'd love to have you come tonight right after the service over in Pastor's classroom in the gym. If you'd like to come, if you haven't signed up, we've got plenty of food coming. Love to have you come and join us. And that is tonight right after the service. There's also a cancer ministry meeting right after the service. So you folks involved with that, you'll want to make sure you're there. Next Saturday, we have an event all day going on, this fantastic Saturday for the deaf. And I encourage you, probably are not involved in that, but be praying for that. It can be a great outreach. We could reach these deaf folks and get them in church. There's also a visitation Saturday with our breakfast and visitation starting at 9 o'clock. And if you're going to be here for that, please sign up, so we know how much food to prepare for it and to come out and join us for that ministry. Also, let's jump ahead another week. And the 11th, there's two events going on, the Truth Teen Rally on Saturday at 5 and the Outdoorsman's Ministry at 6. We had run out of flyers for the Outdoorsman Ministry. I noticed there's a lot more on the Welcome Center. So if you went to get some before and couldn't find them, they're there now. Again, you may have some friends, relatives that would want to be involved with this. So take those and invite folks to come to those two events. All right? Very good. Gentlemen, you come. We'll receive the offering this morning. Young guys are much faster than the old guys. Come on, Earl. Let's go, buddy. All right. All righty. Brother David Hayes, would you pray for us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for that stay before your presence. Father, thank you. We have one to baptize today. This is Jessica Berry. We'll baptize her here in just a moment. She came and received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior during our revival with Dr. Tom Farrell. And she got it nailed down. Praise the Lord for that. She's coming today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Let me remind the church and so on that there's no saving power in this water. The saving power is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But this baptism is a beautiful picture. If you'll notice, this water is crossing my body. That's a picture of the cross where Jesus died. When I take her below the water, that's a picture of Jesus' death and he buried into the tomb, placed into the tomb. We raise her back up. That's a picture of Jesus coming out alive for all eternity. And what he did for her, she is accepting and she's identifying with Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for this occasion. And what's the pleasure of the church that we accept her? She's been dealt with. She's a born-again child of God. She wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Can I get a motion that we receive her upon her baptism, Brother Mark? Second, Nathan. All in favor, you'll say aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign, so carried. God bless you. This is Jessica Berry upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. God bless you. It's been done as the Lord Jesus has clearly commanded, and all God's people said. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. If you're visiting with us today, let me remind you about your visitor's card. Please take it to the Welcome Center. Be back tonight at 6:30, and we'll be back in the book of Genesis, the Lord willing, tonight, speaking again on Jacob and Joseph reunited. So I hope you'll be here tonight at 6:30. Please speak to each other as you leave, especially if you see somebody that's a guest. That'll be good. I'm going to ask Brother Mark Snodgrass, sir, if you'll lift your voice, please.